Hello, everyone. This is Mrs. Hines, and I'm here to read for you chapters 32 through 35. Chapter 32. The years passed, and Maeve became as connected to the neighborhood as I was, even as newcomers from other lands added their music and food and language to our little part of the world. No matter where people were from, Maeve cared for them as best she could. I grew tougher, my older limbs less pliable, my shadow longer, more trees and shrubs joined me, but there was plenty of sun for all of us, and we never wanted for water. I hosted many families by then, mice and chipmunks in particular. My closest confidant was a young gray squirrel named Squibbles. All squirrels' names begin with the letters S-Q-U. Squibbles was especially fond of Maeve, who often fed the little squirrels table scraps. Privately, Squibbles and I worried about Maeve. Along the way, Maeve had seen a suitor or two, but nothing much came from those flirtations. She had friends aplenty and work to do from dawn till dusk. Still, she seemed lonely. Sometimes Maeve would sit on the porch steps, watching happy families stroll past, and her eyes would well up with tears. At night, she'd gaze out an open upstairs window, and her sighs would float to us on the breeze, melancholy as the call of a mourning dove. Often Maeve would sit at the base of my trunk and write in her journal. Now and then she'd read passages aloud. She spoke about the Irish countryside fading into fog. She spoke about her family she'd lost. She spoke about her secret hopes and fears and longings. She had love to give and no one to give it to. Maeve adored early mornings, when the world was bathed in mist and the sun was still a promise. She would lean against my trunk and close her eyes and hum a tune from her childhood. One day, on the 1st of May, Maeve joined me at dawn. To my surprise, she reached up to my lowest bough and gently tied a scrap of blue-striped fabric in a careful knot. "I wish," she whispered, "for someone to love with all my heart." That was my first wish and the beginning of many more. Chapter 33. As the weeks passed, the piece of fabric on my branch drew many comments. Some of the folks in the neighborhood, the ones from Ireland, would nod knowingly and smile. To them, Maeve would simply say in her lilting voice, "That's my raggy tree. She's not a hawthorn, but she'll do just fine." The people who'd come from here from other lands, and there were many of them, would frown at the rag or even reach up to remove it. Maeve would warn, "Don't you be touching my wish now." Patiently, again and again, she would explain how, in her old home, leaving wishes on a raggy tree was a time-honored tradition. Now and then, people would ask Maeve what she'd wish for. She'd tell them the truth with a sigh and a wry smile. "Nothing much, just someone to love with all my heart. Nothing much at all." Sometimes people would laugh. Sometimes they would roll their eyes. "A wish on a rag won't bring you love, dearie," they would say. But usually, people gave Maeve a kind smile, a squeeze on the arm, a knowing nod. And then they, too, would ask if they could add a wish of their own. Chapter 34. Another year passed. As May neared, I found myself hosting more scraps of fabric than budding leaves. Squibbles tried to steal a few fabric strips to line his dray, the nest made of leaves and twigs high in one of my forked branches. I explained he'd have to stick with moss and pine needles until the 1st of May. Wishes, according to Maeve, could not be touched until after May Day. Then the ones that weren't carried off in the wind or dragged to the ground by the rain could be removed by people or by enterprising squirrels. I suspect she made up that rule for my benefit, so I could grow unfettered without the weight of wet rags dragging me down. Just before dawn, on the 1st of May, a young woman approached me. She had dark, wavy hair and wore a tethered gray coat. In her arms was a wrapped bundle. "Psst," Squibbles whispered to me. "Here comes another wish, Red." But Squibbles was wrong. There was no wish. Swiftly, but with great care, the girl placed her bundle in my hollow. "Thank you for Maeve," I realized. "A loaf of bread, perhaps." The girl had probably been one of her patients. She was gone as quickly as she come. Like a hummingbird, I thought, there, then not there, like a gust of wind. Chapter 35. Just a few minutes later, Maeve opened the door of the little brown house. She smiled at me, and the scraps waving in the early morning breeze. And then came the cry. Wail was more like it, coming from me. Not the meek peep of a wren chick, not the shy squeak of a mouse pup. No, this was a cry of righteous indignation. This was a baby.